Sometimes in the technology business, it takes years to find your niche, customer fit, and the right business model. That's the story behind today's guest on Techopia Live. This Ottawa company rode the success of the dot-com wave way back in the 1990s, but had to hit the reset button during the financial crisis of 2008. Today, they're on a renewed path to growth. Stay tuned for a fascinating story of slow success coming up on Techopia Live. Hey everyone, it's Michael Curran from the Ottawa Business Journal. Welcome to another episode of Techopia Live. This is a regular podcast from OBJ that features executives from next generation technology companies and the established players. Some of them have been around for a little while, as you're going to find out today, all with the goal of keeping the local tech sector informed and connected. Sometimes people have a sense in the technology sector that companies are an overnight success. And this overnight success narrative runs counter to the experience of many successful tech entrepreneurs. Take today's guest, for instance. His journey with his software company started way back in January of 1998. No, I didn't mean to say 2008, and I didn't mean to say 2018, by the way. I'm talking about 1998, the last millennium. Our guest today says his company's slow ascent is possibly a blessing in disguise, but make no mistake, they have achieved success. Consider some of these metrics. Revenues are up 400% in the past 5 years. Headcount has gone from 24 employees in December 2019 to about 110 employees today, and the company has more than 2,000 customers. Okay, enough chitter chatter. Let's get down to business with today's guest. Please welcome the CEO of Recollective. Here is Alfred J. Hello, Alfred.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Well, Alfred, you and I have, or at least on my part, I've watched you for a long, long time. In the lead up to today's interview, I shared with you, I joined OBJ in 1999. And I remember, I guess it's the same company, but I remember a company that you had called Ramius, I think was the original name. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. You've been kind enough to cover us a few times over the years.
Yeah.
Yes, the Ramius Corporation, I co-founded it with my co-founder, Phil Dame, back in January 98, as you said. It was our original name, Ramius Corporation. But we're now called Recollective Inc. It is our only product. It is our third product in the history of the company, but we launched it in 2011. And as the CEO, I, of course, set strategic direction. I set the target culture and worked to move the company towards it continuously. And I set the risk profile for the firm. So we're very excited about it. It's certainly an exciting time for us. We have, as you've said, grown quite a bit in the last couple of years, and we're excited to keep pushing forward.
Okay, and of course, we're going to dig into the company. I want to let people know something about you, Alfred, though. You've been in Ottawa, as I indicated, for a long time. I think you went to school at Ivy, but tell us a little bit about who Alfred J. is.
Sure. Yeah, I've been in Ottawa since grade six, other than going away to go to business school at Western. I've been here the entire time. Love Ottawa. It's a great community, but also a great place to start a technology company. I think it's been very advantageous to us, not only in finding engineers, but also in building managers, finding a great work-life balance and helping to not be overcrowded with lots of other companies. And as a small company, it's a great opportunity to build up. So yes, I'm a big believer in Ottawa, and our headquarters are here in Ottawa, although we have in our 110 people across Canada, the US, the UK, even in Eastern Europe.
And when I think of you, Alfred, I think of you as being an internet pioneer. Like if you think of back in 1998, the internet wasn't that old. I think OBJ was just starting to find its way. Is that really, if I were to describe your career in just a couple words, Is that how you would think of yourself?
Pioneer is probably more complimentary than it's deserved, but certainly it's been a long time. And in fact, I remember I did an interview with OBJ when we first launched the company, and I was asked if I knew of any great websites that are kind of surfacing, and it was Google at the time. So
yeah,
it's been a long time. It's been a fight at times, but it's exciting to be here for sure.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about Recollective, as you said, and that product has been around for a little bit. So give us the modern sense of Recollective. What is the company? What is the product, I guess? What problem is it solving? What's the big differentiator in what you're doing?
Absolutely. Well, Recollective is a platform. It's SaaS-based software, a platform for market researchers and insights professionals. Essentially bring together people to engage them for purposes of learning from them to ultimately make better decisions. So we're really focused on the qualitative side of research, everything about hows and whys, the sorts of things that companies would have gone to focus groups or individual interviews to do in the past. But now we support that sort of research done online at scale over any duration, whether it's a few hours in a day, in a few days, or ongoing for years. Our software helps all the largest market research agencies across the world, but also large companies that have the resources to want to engage their customers in real time to study from them, whether they're testing concepts, whether they're studying behaviors, or whether they're just engaging them in interactions so that they can learn what they don't currently know, but all with the intent of driving the company forward in a more informed way so that they can do things better, faster, and certainly cheaper.
Okay, very well said, like you've said it before. Joking. And just so people understand this at a deeper level, so I got your point on focus groups and things like that, but is Recollective like more of a survey? Is it used in that environment? Is it used in a virtual meeting scenario where you're interacting with prospects or clients? Give us a sure. sense of how your customers use this.
Absolutely. So most people would be familiar with online surveys, sorts of things that they might do from SurveyMonkey and so on. We focus also in engaging people, but for qualitative purposes. So whereas the quantitative, which is your traditional survey, is typically looking at the who, what, when, and where, our software is all about discovering the hows and whys. So the things that don't have specific answers, but if you engage in interactions, you get to learn a lot more about things that you don't necessarily know. If you ask 100 people the same question in our software, you might get thousands of different answers because the question is, how do you use this? Or what do you think of this? And there's no defined answer. Why do you do things this way? Our software is much like a traditional survey in the sense that people are put through a flow of things, either asynchronously or engaged live, but they're put through a sequence of things and the sorts of questions they're asked have responses that they submit in video, or they might be editing images. They might be watching videos and commenting on those videos. And then the answers from those interactions are then socialized, if the researcher wants, to the rest of the community where the other people can react to it. So it's very much similar to a traditional survey, but different types of questions, different kinds of answers, and then the socialization after leads it to be a true community. And these communities run to anywhere from a dozen people to thousands to tens of thousands and larger.
Well, that's a great crash course on quantitative versus qualitative. So I appreciate that, and appreciate the qualitative probably is more about those open-ended questions, the hows, the whys, and so on and so forth. If I was a customer of yours, Alfred, why would I be using Recollective as opposed to some other solution?
Yeah, well, certainly the benefit of research to answer these hows and whys is not in question. But to do it in a way that one could really involve a stakeholder group, typically customers, but could be employees, could be people in the general public, to involve them in in real time as decisions are being made, not simply periodically when bigger decisions need to be made, but the closer one can put the company in a position to actually test most decisions before they're put into action, means that the likelihood that those decisions will yield better outcomes is higher. So our software is all about giving companies and market research agencies that ability to engage more frequently with more people, which should yield even more data, but also more significant readings so that they can more accurately move on that data. That's what it's all about. It's really better decisions, and it complements the quantitative. It's not an either or thing. It's really about answering those questions that the quantitative research doesn't get to in detail. So if you could do, you know, typically people are familiar with surveys, but it's tougher to ask kind of the qualitative side of things because you don't really know necessarily what you might find out. There's no convenient pie chart at the end to tell you that red's everybody's favorite or most people's favorite color and so on. You have to then interpret that data, translate that into things that you then action. So it's tougher to do. Executing it online is also tougher because whether you're engaging in video and so on, you know, there's a certain technological hurdle that's higher. So the ability to also scale that also meant, you know, greater challenge to execute. The great thing is all those infrastructure pieces and interests, you know, converge, and Recollective is a leader in that space, and we're very excited about the future of it.
Very cool. Very cool. And you have some big name clients. I was on your website. I think you've revealed who some of those clients are. Maybe I'll invite you to boast a little bit here, Alfred, about these big clients.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been lucky. So Recollective, we launched it in 2011. We sell to really most of the major market research firms around the world. Our software is in 28 different languages. But we sell to firms like Ipsos, Kantar, other firms like CNR. We even have customers here in Ottawa, like Abacus, Phase 5, Ernst Cliff, and so on. But only about less than 8% of our total revenue comes from Canada. But within our market research agency group, they would run communities and periodic studies for companies as varied as Amazon, Apple, Facebook, all the banks in Canada, you know, large telcos, but also companies in the retail space, clothing, healthcare, and other industrials, airlines, and so on. But we also sell directly to enterprise customers that have their own direct interest to be running studies or running their customer communities and to do so on an ongoing basis. Companies as diverse as Dyson and Spotify, many of the world's largest strategic consultancies, and so on. So we've been lucky enough to be not only in front of these companies, but have them stick with us for many years and continue to grow.
Okay, and one more question, and then we'll take a quick pause here. But is the revenue model a monthly recurring model, Alfred? Are the majority of your customers for long periods of time, or are some of them just like a single project customer?
Yeah, well, we don't try to push our clients into ongoing subscriptions. If they want to buy our software that way, we're very happy. We have all the models to support them that way. But our interest is to serve our customers however they wish to be served. So many of our market research agency customers are comfortable with billing their clients for our software. And because they run their research in a project way, the billing model that fits best for them in that sort of arrangement is to have them engage our software on a periodic basis, so a limited or fixed term license. But many of those clients, as they use us more and more, they like to have annual licenses, and we certainly support that. The majority of our revenue is ongoing licenses, but we don't force it. Our interest is to simply serve the client as they wish to be served and not necessarily be driven by what, you know, an investor might see as the preferred model. We're quite confident that our customers will return, and our retention is very high. So however they try the software, as long as we get a chance to work with them, to see them try the software, to hear what they like and don't like about it, that's a win for us. And hopefully, if we've done a good enough job, they'll come back. And if we keep doing it over and over again, they'll keep coming back. So we don't try to lock in. We don't try to drive a bigger commitment than they need to be. We should be winning their confidence every single time we talk.
That's interesting. And I don't know if all the SaaS players in Ottawa would have that flexibility. As you know, often it's just, you know, you're monthly and there's no other option, you know, unless you want to play, write us one check or pay us once a year. So it's interesting that you're that you've adapted the model like that.
Yeah, I think we're lucky. So, you know, as a company that's 26 years old, since Phil and I started it, when you're considerably younger, we survived the dot-com crash. Our first product was a product called Community Zero. It was a general collaboration product. And then we built that into a reasonable business. But then the crash of 08 came, and effectively what we realized to ourselves was that what we had been doing, which was paying the bills and growing slowly, wasn't going to survive that crash. And while we did have some existing customers that loved our products, our ability to commercialize that on a wider scale was always going to be challenged. General collaboration is an extremely tough market. It's one of these first-time entrepreneur mistakes where you see a huge market, you think you can build a great product, and our product was arguably great, but to take it, commercialize it, and build a stronger and stronger business out of it was challenged. But we have raised a little money over the years, like roughly $3.5 million Canadian. And at those times in 2008, especially, is not possible to finance again. And quite frankly, our business was too weak to deserve any. So we had to go about building our business in a way that wasn't dependent on financing. And as a result, today, we've done everything without any sort of venture capital investment. So our cap table isn't populated with anything that has a finite timeline. So we're able to think long-term. We think long-term in terms of the relationships with our customers, the models that would serve them best. We don't have the need to push to get the ARR numbers up. But we're, of course, looking to, of course, keep our rev growing, and we're an entirely licensed revenue business. So our interest is simply to think long-term. We don't want to push clients into something that they don't need. And quite frankly, it's a competitive advantage because we don't have that pressure. We are able to deliver our customers that sort of freedom. And that means we have to keep on top of it. There's no locking people into long licenses and then let things drag and hope they renew 3 years later when it comes up. We have to win them over each time. And the nature of our business has proven out that works. Our kind of total rev, although it's very much driven by recurring business, when we first started selling Recollective, only about a third of our business was ongoing licenses. The rest was project-based. Now we're almost two-thirds ongoing licenses, and then the small remainder is project-based.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for being that transparent on that pivot, because it's not easy to state publicly that you're on the wrong path, you know, in the 2008 period. And also, I think it's just fascinating that you recognize that and say, you know, how do we create something that's a lot more sustainable, that isn't dependent on external funding in that? And look where you've ended, Alfred. You must be, you know, very happy. So congratulations to you and the team.
No, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Yeah, we have a great team, very resilient, very driven, care a lot. We care a lot about our customers, we care a lot about each other. And we are, you know, those of us that have been around long enough, we haven't had a layoff since 2010, and we don't plan to have another one anytime soon. We continue to be aggressive. We take risks, but in the interest of our customers, and we have a lot more to lose these days. So to some extent, you know, we do move more carefully, but we're still out to think long-term, dream big, and push hard. I would say, I think the greatest experiences that have come through building this company have been through those difficult times. We've been humbled. We've had near-death experiences. They make us stronger. They make the bonds of us as a team stronger. And we're able to provide that level of stability to our own people because we've built it kind of without that external help. and it helps us to view the world in a certain way that doesn't depend on outside assistance going forward. Now, certainly, at some point we may raise some money and move things along faster, but as it is right now, we don't have any intention of doing that. We're not here to sell the company, we're here to build it. We're leading in our space and we're very excited about it. And I don't think we need to do that. Our challenge is still finding the best people, helping bring them into our team, make them not only strong contributors, but help them to grow, help us to push together and ultimately hopefully win together. But yeah, I think it's a sign for people in other smaller companies that it can be done without. But you first have to remove the thought that you need that outside help to do it. And it might be very painful. In 2008 and 9, when we were 29 people, we also had other challenges in our business. We were more services related. That made up a good portion of our revenue. We were in a crowded, crowded marketplace where we were nowhere near the front. These were challenges that we had to rethink when we built our business and morphed into Recollective. We were lucky enough to have customers that were using our other softwares to do qualitative research work. And that made us think, you know, as we're looking to get into a better space where we could take our skills building social software into a better business opportunity, that little, you know, glimmer of hope of seeing those customers use our other softwares meant there might be opportunities there. And as we looked into it and really recommitted to continue to go forward, but to move us to a place where we could be more likely to lead one day, it was lucky enough to be humbled in the past that we had to listen. The arrogance had been pushed away, and now we could figure out what we actually had to come to terms with to get to a better place. It was, I still have PTSD, but it was very, very, humbling, but also rewarding in the end. It was good to go through.
There's some great lessons in that response, Alfred. Thank you very much. Listen, we've got some news to share about Recollective, but before we do that, we're going to take a brief pause to recognize the sponsor of this episode. Here's a message from Number Crunch. Number Crunch is an Ottawa-based firm that allows you to strategically outsource your financials, especially if you're a technology startup or scaling your business. Number Crunch services range from bookkeeping to payroll to full virtual CFO services, including fundraising preparation and cash flow forecasting. Led by Susan Richards and Craig Hung, Number Crunch is supported by an established team of financial professionals who have advised and supported hundreds of firms. Number Crunch's cost-effective subscription model affords you the right expertise for every stage of your business. Let Number Crunch help your company mitigate risk by ensuring proper accounting procedures are in place, providing you with strategic input and scaling along with your business. For a quote on outsourcing and accounting, please visit numbercrunch.ca. Number Crunch, strength in numbers. All right, we're back talking with Alfred J. from Recollective. Thanks to Number Crunch, by the way. A company has been around for all sorts of time, and they're very interested in quantitative and qualitative things in an accounting capacity, in a bookkeeping and CFO capacity. But let's continue our discussion, Alfred, with Recollective. I understand there's some significant changes happening to the product. Give us the update.
Yeah, very much so. So we recently announced a new offering that wraps around our core offering, being Recollective itself. We announced a product called Connect, which is essentially a way for our customers to bring all the populations that they have together that they study, and instead of simply putting them into studies, have a home to house that population, to engage with them in the scale of tens, hundreds of thousands, but to not only have them share kind of home pages, but also to do some basic discussions and other engagements. So many companies will have long email lists of their customers, the ones that they might occasionally send surveys to. This is a way of giving them an interactive home to make it very manageable, but to also be able to direct them whether to qualitative studies within our software perhaps, or others, but also to quantitative studies outside in softwares like Qualtrics, which is the gorilla in the space, or other softwares like SurveyMonkey and so on. It's really a hub for our customers to bring their customers together, make it very manageable, and make it an engaged experience, not simply, you know, passive databases that they go to draw on emails and so on. Combined with that, we have an integration to Qualtrics, as I was referring to, really the dominant software platform for quantitative research, especially in the enterprise. And our software allows the integration of the two such that certain Qualtrics data can be brought into the Recollective communities, so that whether it's profiling of customers or just augmenting the kind of the depth of the study, is able to add greater value.
That's really neat. And Alfred, as you look into 2024 and beyond, obviously this is, you know, one significant evolution to the software. What do you see in the future? Like, I'm thinking of maybe an AI integration. Everyone seems to be a little focused on that. What's in the future of Recollective?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so, I mean, this is a great opportunity. Of course, in technology, there's always these sort of waves that can be either disruptive in a good way or disruptive in a scary way. I think it's always a bit of both. But what's exciting is for Recollective, it's very much a data collection and aggregation platform. So it does bring in kind of all our own kind of qualitative data that gets collected through Recollective, but also through other platforms like Qualtrics, brings in quantitative too. And the opportunity for AI to make the understanding of that mass of data much more easily accessible, faster to interpret, is real and is here. So, there's a situation in the past where you'd really have to be a very experienced market researcher to even come up with kind of a logical enough methodology for a study to go through with it. Now, it doesn't take anything away from those skills of those market researchers, but the accessibility of software like Recollective for non-researchers to also access kind of qualitative research, and then to do it at scale without it being overwhelming, is what AI can bring. You know, whether it's AI to help analyze this data from thousands, tens of thousands of people and turn it into something that's more easily understood, rather than having to read the actual responses of 10,000 people to 20 different kind of activity types, that becomes easier. The possibility for AI to actually help the person determine how to take the study forward, the kinds of questions they might want to delve into, how to do it, that kind of thing. But it's really about making it, whether you want to call it democratizing the ability to conduct qualitative research at scale, it's really making it easier, faster, and cheaper than ever before. So it's an exciting time. We have all the data, and now we're advancing AI through the platform to make it more accessible. So we're seeing huge growth in terms of the way the platform is being used. We're seeing customers that are not traditional market researchers, but they obviously have questions that they want to answer in their business. And AI and their awareness of software like ours allows them to access it in ways that they really, you know, didn't find within reach before.
Sometimes I think people are looking these days for a good application for AI, but what you just said seems like the logical one about crunching all that data. Alfred, we've run out of time. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you. As is
the customary in Techopia Live, we're going to end, though, with a segment called Building a Better Working World, and this is brought to you by EY.
Recollective is building a better working world by helping customers to understand their customers better, to engage them, to learn from them, so that they can make better decisions in their businesses.
Very succinct. Alfred, listen, I think today's discussion has been a very authentic one. And from my perspective, I can see all the wisdom and experience that's been gained over the years since 1998. Lots of pearls of wisdom in this one. So thank you for spending some time with us on Techopia Live, and good luck to you and your co-founder and the larger team at Recollective.
No, thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure. It's nice to reconnect with you after so many years, but what a pleasure to be profiled.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. There's Alfred J. from Recollective. Before we wrap up, let's take a look at some of the other great companies that champion Techopia. Techopia is brought to you by many great sponsors, such as EY, building a better working world. Number Crunch, offering virtual CFO services for SaaS companies. Perley Robertson Hill & McDougall, a leader in business and technology sector law. TD Bank, specialized programs for technology companies. The University of Ottawa Faculty of Engineering, creating the next generation of technical talent. Techopia is not only a podcast, we post new articles daily at obj.ca/techopia. And if you're on YouTube, please subscribe and click the bell icon. All right. Thanks once again to Alfred J. from Recollective. I just find that so fascinating. You begin this journey in 1998 and you're on a path, riding the wave of the initial internet, and then repositioning sometime around 2008. Probably lots of entrepreneurs in Ottawa and beyond can learn from that type of wisdom. Hey, before we wrap up, we got some Techopia news to share. One big piece of news is that once a year, we release a magazine called Techopia EY Insights. And that magazine launch is coming up in May. So we're very excited about that. We're going to have a party to launch it. There'll be a printed in this digital world, glossy magazine circulated around Ottawa. So thanks to the people at EY for working with us on it. We're doing the final touches, so stay tuned for that. By the way, you can always find the digital edition of that. It is printed, but you can go to techopiaeyinsights.ca if you want to find the existing one, and then the new digital edition will be there. Also, wanted to point out that OBJ's got a great membership subscription program that we've been running for several months. It's called OBJ Insiders. And if you're an OBJ Insider, you get some very cool perks. The primary one in my mind is access to exclusive online articles on OBJ.ca. You also get a bi-weekly email newsletter. You get the printed version of OBJ News Magazine mailed to you, as well as the other magazines, stuff like the Book of Lists that just launched a little bit. You can get that mailed to you. And once in a while, we're going to get together with the OBJ Insiders in person. So you can go to obj.ca, and up in the upper top right corner, you can click on subscribe and go through that. And by the way, there are now individual subscriptions and group subscriptions. So if you think a few of the people in your company or organization would benefit from being insiders, you can benefit by up to 20% on a group subscription. That's all the time we have today. We thank you for watching and or listening. We hope Techopia is doing a great job of keeping you connected and informed. Let's keep building Ottawa's technology utopia. That is Techopia. See you soon. Bye-bye.